Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church.
Testing with one,
Dr.
Two,
Gene
two.
A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today as once again we face the issues. We're always delighted to have you on board, and we always look forward to your calls, your comments, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Anytime during the course of this broadcast, feel free to pick up your telephone and dial that number. Your call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and your discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." That's in John 8, 31 and 32. There's a requirement there, ladies and gentlemen. Continue in my word, Jesus says. That's to constantly be in the word, the truth book. If you remain in the word, Jesus is saying, you are my disciples indeed. That word indeed means truly, sincerely. You're actually a disciple. One of the indications of a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to stay in the word. And it's through staying in the word that we will know the truth. And it's the truth of the word of God that sets us free. And then Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. And further, he makes the declaratory statement in John 17, 17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. So it's the truth of the word of God, the truth book, the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that should be the guide for our lives. Howbeit, I understand, and as I've said many times on this broadcast, the truth is not sought today. In fact, George Orwell, the secularist, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be so valid and so true today. Not that it's right, but it's true. It's the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth. And may I challenge you today to stand for truth. If all else fails, stand for truth. If we're not willing to stand for truth, then what are we going to stand for? One of the problems we find in society today is among believers, so-called Christians, that are willing to go along to get along, abandoning the truth. We need to stand for truth even if we have to stand alone, even if it means defending truth to the point of our life being called upon. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment, generating backup equipment. They can answer all of your questions about the power equipment for the landscape, lawn care for your home or for the professional. Tools for Time is located, ladies and gentlemen, 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's a great benchmark to find Tools for Time. You can find Tools for Time by locating that gigantic flag flowing at I-295 on Old San Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're on the fast track for a totalitarian state. Now, you might disagree. That's fine. I'd love to hear from you if you think otherwise. But a totalitarian state, it is, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that every American should be seeing this take place by watching the crackdown on our civil liberties. Today, the Biden administration is on the fast track for, I believe, that state that we could call a totalitarian state. Our constitutional liberties are being rapidly foreclosed upon. Now, I'm concerned about this, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps if you've not tuned in before, if you've not heard me before, let me remind you that we're on the fast track. We're watching it take place. And I'm concerned because as Christians, we need to recognize where we're headed and what we're doing. Understand biblically, and we'll talk about that today, what should we do biblically based on what we see taking place in relationship to our religious liberties and our constitutional rights being foreclosed upon in this fast track for the totalitarian state. Today we have millions of Christians that seemingly are prepared to just simply bow and bend and follow government rather than obeying God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says Biden is creating a totalitarian state before our very eyes. It's dated February the 23rd. It says, we're really moving, quote, we're really moving into a coup situation. Naomi Wolf said on Tucker Carlson Fox News show Monday night, a police state situation, she said. Wolf is not a conservative. She's not an insurrectionist. She's not a deplorable. She's not even, to my knowledge, a domestic terrorist. She is a former advisor to Bill Clinton and Al Gore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that sets the stage on who this person is that is interviewed on Tucker Carlson. Naomi Wolf, here's what she says in this article. I've been writing for months and months now about what I see as the terrible crisis that we're in, that we have to recognize under the guise of real medical pandemic. She said, we're really moving into a coup situation, a police state, a situation that's not partisan, not a partisan thing. That's, as you see, that transcends everything you and I might agree or disagree on, should bring together left and right to protect our Constitution. We're absolutely moving into a totalitarian state. She said she calls it Step 10. And then the question in the article is, what is Step 10? Let me read you what she says. She says, I wrote a book in which I pointed out there are 10 steps that would-be tyrants always take when they want to close down a democracy. She went on. Whether they're on the left or on the right, they always do the same 10 things. And now we're at something I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. You described it really, really well, she told Carlson. In step 10, and that's the suspension of all rule of law. That's when you start to be a police state, and where there is no way around it, end quote. She says that step 10 in a totalitarian state, in the progression toward that, is to suspend everything that's called law. I would call it law and order. Here's another article. It says the former Clinton advisor warns us the U.S. is becoming totalitarian under the lockdown orders. The state has now crushed businesses, this article says, kept us from gathering in free assembly to worship, as the First Amendment provides, is invading our bodies, which is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, restricting movement, finding us in the state of New York. The violations go on and on and on, she said in the news interview. We're at something that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime, she says. They're using that to engage in emergency orders that simply strip us of our rights. The rights of property, the rights of assembly, the rights to worship, all rights the Constitution guarantees, she said, arguing that the lockdowns have never been done in a society. And really, we're turning into a totalitarian state before our very eyes, she states. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching that take place. Now, perhaps you ask the question, and I'll tuck this in, then we'll look at further evidences of a totalitarian state and what some call a crackdown on our civil liberties. And that's exactly what we see happening. But the question is asked, and begs to be answered. What can we do? How should we respond? I had a number of people that have said in the past several months that all of these things are true, but what should we do? How should we respond? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the Biden administration with executive orders, and with executive orders, they are bypassing all rules, all regulations, all laws that would give we the people any sense of stability or security. I'm looking at an article that says legislative oversight of emergency executive powers. In times of war, disease, and other extraordinary conditions, each state authorizes its governors to declare a state of emergency. Once an emergency has been declared, executive powers expand until the emergency ends. These powers include authority normally reserved for the legislature, such as the ability to suspend existing statutes or effectively create new laws, albeit temporarily and only as needed to respond to the emergency situation. Although governors need to be able to respond to emergencies quickly, legislatures have an important role in making sure that these powers are not abused and that they do not undermine the separation of powers vital to our democratic system of government. And it's about a 10-page article going into great detail of what is taking place in relationship to that. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you that we're watching today our rights, our Bill of Rights, our sense of freedom in America being absolutely overthrown and the totalitarian state being set up. Now, Daniel, in the book of Daniel, in the scripture, had a very similar situation in his day. In fact, I call your attention to the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. The sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, we find the scripture talking about Daniel and his faithfulness and his friendliness and his position in the authority in the governmental society that he was in. The Bible says, and I just outlined it in the margin of my Bible, that Daniel was friendly. He had an excellent spirit, the scripture says. Daniel was faultless. The fourth verse says there was no fault found in him. Daniel was faithful because in that fourth verse it says he was faithful. Daniel was fearless, ladies and gentlemen, because when the order was signed that there could be no prayer to anybody or any god except for the king for 30 days, what did Daniel do? Now, I believe this should be edifying for us today to recognize where we stand and what's taking place and to go back to a biblical principle through a biblical personality, through God's word, that will absolutely give us some encouragement and hope as to what we ought to do, how we need to respond. Because I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, from my vantage point, from what I see in the scripture and what I see constitutionally and what I see that's taking place in the civil governance with the crackdown on our civil liberties and our rapidly becoming a totalitarian state, we as Christians need to buckle up and realize what's before us. We need to make a determination today what we will do tomorrow or the next day or the next day as things progressively, increasingly grow darker and darker for the Christians and for our liberties and the opportunity to worship as we have in the past. So what did Daniel do when the law was signed? What did Daniel do when the scripture says in the seventh verse of the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel, that all the councils and all the governors and all the princes and all the captains all got together, and they went to the king, got a petition signed, got an order signed, an executive order, law, if you will, signed, and it said that no one could worship or pray for 30 days. And the 10th verse, after Daniel saw that the writing had been signed, verse 9 says, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Verse 10 says in the sixth chapter, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So, ladies and gentlemen, what the Bible is telling us, that even when Daniel knew that the executive order, the law had been signed, that said he could not pray, Daniel didn't go and hide his face in the corner. Daniel didn't cry and wring his hands. Daniel didn't say, well, I need to surrender, because after all, the law is just for 30 days. The executive order is just for 30 days. The law is for 30 days, and albeit, I can continue to go without praying for 30 days. I can do that, hands down. That's the way Christians see it today. Daniel, a God-fearer, Daniel, a man of God, Daniel, a man that was faithful, faultless, friendly, he was also fearless, ladies and gentlemen, because when the executive order was signed, Daniel didn't cry and whimper and say, well, I'm going to obey God and not government. Daniel obeyed God. Daniel continued to pray three times a day as he always had. And the scripture says his windows were open. So, ladies and gentlemen, all of the snitches had already looked through his garbage can to see if they could find any intimidating evidence against him. They had already searched all of his internet, if they had them in that day. I'm using that in pun to make a point. They had already had the FBI and the CIA investigate him. Dr. Fauci had already checked him out to see if he was wearing a mask, I'm sure, had that been the mask mandate of the day. But Daniel went into his home, and the windows being open, and prayed. And the scripture says, in the 11th verse, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They watched him. They saw him. He didn't try to hide in the closet. He didn't hide under the bed as most pastors are doing today. He didn't wring his hands and say we ought to obey government rather than God. Daniel continued to pray as he had historically. Ladies and gentlemen, while he knew that prayer had been banned, he knew that the executive order had gone into place, he, knowing that the penalty for of disobeying that law of the land, that executive order, as we call it today, he knew that death would be the penalty if he disobeyed. But ladies and gentlemen, he continued to pray. Daniel, the Bible tells us that he went into his home, bowed, and continued to pray three times a day, just as he had always prayed. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he was watched. Yes, if they'd had it in that day, they had drones flying over. Yes, if they'd had it in that day, they would have had the CIA, the FBI, and the National Health Institute checking on him to see what he was doing to make sure that they could report him, snitch on him. The government had spies then, just as the government has spies today, ladies and gentlemen, to find out what Daniel was doing. They arrested Daniel. They threw Daniel into the lion's den. And Daniel was eaten up by the lions, wasn't he? No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. In fact, he, according to the scriptures, you study the whole chapter, he went to sleep, slept like a baby. He had a lion for a pillow and a lion for a footstool because God was with him. God protected him. He didn't die because God was with him, because even in the crackdown on Daniel's liberties to pray and to worship, Daniel trusted God. And remember, he was faithful, he was friendly, he was faultless, and as a result of being fearless and depending on God, God protected Daniel. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's the formula, a biblical formula that I give you for today as to how we should respond to what we see taking place. I believe we have Bob on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, good morning, Pastor. The scripture
good morning.
Good morning. The scripture says when these things begin to happen, we should look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. Now, in relation to that,
that's in Luke 21:28. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, Israel just enabled a COVID-19 vaccination certificate for all of Israel, meaning that if you don't have this certificate, you don't work. Would that come under the category of when you see these things begin to happen?
Oh, absolutely. That's some of the signs that we're seeing, and there are myriad of the signs that we see taking place today that indicates, number one, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. The next thing we see after the rapture of the church is the man of sin, the Antichrist, stepping on the scene. And the Antichrist will control with an iron hand, and he'll be able to do so because of what we're doing on an international level today, not just in Israel, but we're on the very threshold of putting in the COVID passes for the United States of America. That is a tracking device that will be able to be utilized in the hands of the Antichrist to track every citizen, every person on the face of the globe. You're exactly right. It is one of those things we need to recognize. And the scripture says when we see those things coming about, look up, lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. You're exactly right, brother.
It's interesting that it's Israel also that's starting this.
It is. And because you find in the secular Jewish community, they're blind, the scales are still on their eyes as to what God is doing. The secular Jews do not even recognize that they are the apple of God's eye, the chosen ones, the elect ones of the Old Testament, the Jewish people. They do not recognize and realize that. And it's as a result of that, in part, that will bring about during the days of the tribulation, where the Jewish people will be eviscerated, almost totally annihilated. And when that takes place, according to Zechariah the 12th chapter, verse 9 and following, they will begin to look and will weep as the weeping over a lost firstborn son, and will weep and wail and turn to Yeshua Messiah and be saved and be ushered into the millennial reign with the church age saints. Yes. And at that time, according to Romans chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, all of Israel shall be saved. That all of Israel is after 2/3 of all of society has been destroyed through the Antichrist, and that minuscule remnant that's left will be saved, will turn to Yeshua Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and will be saved. And so it's a wonderful study when you realize that the nation of Israel, Jerusalem in particular, is the hour hand and the minute hand. It's 1 minute before midnight now. And when that minute hand starts, that sweep hand starts, it is God's finalization of the wrap-up of the eschatological future for this old world.
I can't wait till it's 30 seconds before midnight.
I'm ready, brother. I'm ready. I tell people we need to prepare to, as though we're going to be here 1,000 years and be ready for the next 10 seconds to be up and away. It's the sudden seizure, the snatching away.
By the way, when we get to heaven, Pastor, you're invited over to my mansion for Sonny's barbecue.
Amen. I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for your call. God bless you for your insight. Keep on looking up today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what we need to do and how we need to respond. We see these things taking place. We need to, as our caller just said, look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. But what do we do from the standpoint of the human perspective? What do we do? How do we handle it? We need to do just as Daniel did, and that is to keep on doing what God's called us to do, honoring him, serving him, worshiping him, regardless of what takes place in the physicality. We know that God is honored when we serve him and continue to honor him and continue to obey him. Going back to the book of Nehemiah, for example, you understand that they were deriding the Nehemiah and his 49,942 workers that built the wall around Jerusalem in 52 days. They were deriding them, making fun of them, trying to bring about discouragement. They kept on working, kept on carrying the sword, that is the right to keep and bear arms, and they kept on working and defending themselves. And in the 20th verse of the 4th chapter says, Nehemiah reminds them, our God shall fight for us. And that's our challenge today. But ladies and gentlemen, the Christians and the patriots are today facing the powers of big tech. We're facing the powers of big tech today and the socialist agenda to destroy our constitutional republic. There's no question about that. And ladies and gentlemen, when we understand what Biden is doing, part of the Biden administration's approach, part of his approach, is to simply destroy the morals and the ethics and the values that is found protected in our Constitution. Part of those morals and ethics and the values that Biden is destroying today is the total destruction of our Bill of Rights. Part of that destruction of our Bill of Rights is that moral, ethical aspect of it. And I am so concerned about it, and I brought it to you by way of this broadcast. Now, we've talked about it for over a year at times and times and times over again. in relationship to the Equality Act and what that means and what's being done. And I don't know of anything today, ladies and gentlemen, that should cause the Christian to be any more frightened from the human perspective than the Equality Act. The Equality Act is that which is supposed to be equality for everyone, but it's the agenda for the sodomite community, the LGBTQ agenda, and Biden is pushing that to the hilt. This article says Congress reintroduces the conscience-crushing, deceptively titled Equality Act. The following quote was attributed to Alliance Defending Freedom General Counsel Christine Wagoner regarding the U.S. Congress reintroduction Thursday of the deceptively titled Equality Act, legislation that could be used to restrict the religious freedom of churches. Listen, religious freedom of churches, i.e., go back now in your memory of what I just said about Daniel, where his religious liberties were restricted by an executive order by the king that became law, and it was a law that was going to last only 30 days. But Daniel took the stand that I'm going to obey God and not government. This writer in this article says the legislation that could be used to restrict religious liberties, religious freedom of churches and religious nonprofits, including religious schools, set back protections for women on the playing field, at work, and in private spaces like showers and locker rooms, as well as inhibit the ability of every American in life and in alignment with their spiritual beliefs. Further, it says the Equality Act reintroduced by the Congress today, that was Thursday of last week, this proposed legislation punishes and marginalizes people who hold decent and honorable beliefs about marriage or dare to believe the scientific evidence regarding the physical differences between male and female or man and woman. Many in our nation respectfully disagree on important matters such as marriage and human sexuality. Unfortunately, the Equality Act criminalizes these fundamental beliefs held by major faith groups since the dawn of time, and instead demands absolute uniformity of thought, the freedom to live peaceably according to our beliefs in a fundamental right resting in our human dignity and codified in our First Amendment. The Equality Act dares to treat reasonable people as hostile to the state and unfit to participate in any part of the marketplace. Our nation can and must do better. Ladies and gentlemen, let me succinctly boil that down in summary for our understanding. The Equality Act is on the front burner for what Joe Biden is doing in his position, and he said he'd have it accomplished in the first 100 days. He's already signed about four dozen or better executive orders, and one of the executive orders was to institute the parts of the Equality Act, and simultaneously, Nancy Pelosi has already reintroduced House Bill 5 that was passed, by the way, March of 2019 by 240 votes. It was fast-tracked to the Senate, where it lay languishing for two or three years now, a couple of years at least, in the Senate with 47 senators on board. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand the Equality Act will decimate our religious liberties and the freedom of worship, the freedom of religious speech, the freedom of prayer, the freedom of anything that's called religious liberties. And we need to take the principle that's found in the scripture of what Daniel did and how Daniel responded on the basis of realizing that God is going to take care of us. It may mean our life. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. He could have been eviscerated, eaten up, but God protected him as a result of his stand. Joe Biden repeats his threat, ladies and gentlemen, about the Bill of Rights. He says the Bill of Rights, he says there's no amendment in the Bill of Rights, no amendment that is absolute. He has the position that the freedoms that's guaranteed in our Bill of Rights can be removed or in some way quantified, qualified, or eviscerated at will. And that's exactly what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen. And part of that is removing our religious liberties by way of the Equality Act. The Equality Act will take away every, listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe this, go to one of the search engines and find the Equality Act and read it for yourself. It's a mega page article, document, and it will take away every freedom that we have as Christians. It will eviscerate our right to worship. It will eviscerate our right to continue to stand on thus saith the word of God. It will absolutely annihilate any potentiality of the church remaining free and out from under the hands of the big thumb, if you please, of the government that can crush the church. And they're now preparing to do so. That's being fast-tracked. They're supposed to vote on that tomorrow in the House of Representatives in the Beltway in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back after the top of the hour news. Just 1 minute, and we'll be back to continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.